Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, a little bit of a powder keg around here for the last 24 hours based on the comments of Trevor Bauer and the way his arbitration case went down. And the man who had the match to the powder keg joins us now. And I can't wait to talk to him. Bob Nightingale from USA Today is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Yeah, doing great. How about you guys?
Great. Hi, Bob. Hey, thank you for all the fodder over the last 24 hours. We appreciate it.
Pretty crazy.
When you talked to Trevor and Trevor was saying, hey, I felt like I was personally attacked, what were you asking him? How was the conversation and how did it go down?
Yeah, just we all knew he enjoyed the arbitration process. And he says he likes the give and take. And he said the only bad part was the last 10 minutes. We called it a character assassination, with his charity and social media and that sort of thing. Pretty much went off in the air talking about 1-year contracts. The next thing you knew is that, he wanted to meet with the media again and say, well, he was referring more to the labor relations department, those lawyers, and didn't want to act like he was personally attacking the unions. Even though early in the conversation, he says the unions knew what was going on. So, obviously, when his comments came out, Chris Antonetti and, my turnoff called him in and, explained themselves. And then, so he came back and said, I don't want to blame the Indians. I just want to blame the attorneys that were involved.
Were his initial comments to you, Bob, said with like animosity about the character assassination or more from an analytical standpoint?
He was upset about that. He said, hey, I donate to charity. I'm on social media and things like that. If you want to, degrade me or whatever on my performance, that's fine. But that's, cross the line there by just, attacking him as a person. So he was upset with that. He said that did not happen the year before. So he thought he liked the arbitration process overall, except for those 10 minutes.
Bob, isn't that crazy? The Indians absolutely, by the Indians' history and their record of actual arbitration cases, they hate going to arbitration. And I don't blame them because who wants to say anything negative about your own guy? But like you said, I genuinely think Trevor relishes the moment to have somebody kind of knock him down and tell him what's wrong with it. Have you met anybody in baseball that liked the arbitration process as much as him?
Well, no, at least nobody says it publicly like that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really looking forward to next year. And he says, oh, I'm sure I'm going for sure. Because it's almost like I'm a free agent 30 years. So, no, he's already preparing and planning and, talking about setting all kinds of financial records a year from now for the biggest arbitration award for starting pitcher and the biggest raise by a starting pitcher.
Yikes. What do you think of him, Bob? Obviously, in working in Major League Baseball, you meet a lot of different guys, but there aren't a whole lot of guys who are like Trevor, are there?
No, very unique, very unique. And that's why the Diamondbacks weren't prepared for that. That's why they traded him so early in his career, to Cleveland. And he's acquired taste, if you want to hear what's on his mind, just ask him. He's not going to pull punches. So he can rub people the wrong way and, polarizing guy, and some people, love him for that. So, different, certainly different than you see in baseball. Almost more like a personality for a different sport, maybe more NBA or something like that, where he can be more outgoing in baseball, a lot more conservative sport.
Bob, do you think that, and I know they calmed it over, but, the Indians have said before that, Bauer would be on the market, Kluber would be on the market. Does this change his value for the organization? And the other thing is, how do other teams look at it when they see that here's a guy that enjoys arbitration, if they wanted to trade him?
Well, now whoever wants to trade him knows they're going to get him for one more year because, he said it repeatedly yesterday that he's only going to sign 1-year contracts the rest of his career. So, guys, when they make trades, want to keep a guy for for several years. And the fact he's going 1 year at a time, I'm sure it lowers his value a little bit.
What do you think of that?
Trade value.
What do you think of that strategy if you're a player, Bob?
Hey, it's a bold strategy. As you know, everybody knows about baseball, those guaranteed contracts, you get hurt, you get your money. So he's betting himself. So he says, I'll take the big one-year, you know, deals every year. You know, it's probably going to be $35, $40 million a year and just keep going that route. And I would think clubs, you know, clubs will like that in the sense he's probably going to get a high salary every year because clubs, you know, always say there's not, no such thing as a bad one-year contract.
Bob Nightingale joining us from USA Today. Bob, if you're the Indians and you've just gone through this, and Andy and I both thought if you were the Indians and you knew Trevor kind of liked arbitration, why didn't you just write the check and pick up the extra $2 million and just give him what he wanted? Because it might not be worth everything that you're getting. But after all of this, if you're the Indians, are you thinking, we want to keep this guy on the team because with him in the rotation, we really have a chance to get to the postseason and maybe go deep? Or are you thinking, might be a good time to move him because free agency's down the road, he probably isn't coming back, and we could use some outfielders?
No, I think you keep him. I mean, he's such a valuable pitcher. You know, certainly he was on his way, had a chance to win the Cy Young last year before he got hurt. So I think next winter I'd be surprised if he's on the team a year from now. But I think, you know, there you trade him and get some you know, solid prospect for him. And I think with the Indians, particularly being in the division they are, you kind of step back. You know, you can see whether the young outfielders can play or not. If they can't, you know, go get some help at the trade deadline. You know, their bread and butter is those guys, you know, the pitching staff. And, you know, you bring those guys into a postseason, you know, you got a chance to beat anybody.
Bob Nightingale from USA Today joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bob, do you think it's fair game in these arbitration hearings to bring up stuff that's going on off the field, like tweets and maybe charity stuff? What should be fair game in these arbitration hearings? What do you think?
I think just straight performance. Yeah, what, you know, how a guy feels, not whether he's great in the clubhouse or bad in the clubhouse or what he does, you know, on or off the field, but just, you know, compare him to guys his you know, service time age group and you know, strikeouts, you know, wins, innings, everything else you want to bring up, but just performance, nothing else.
Yeah, Bob, what do you think the impact is? I mean, you've covered baseball for a long time. I'm just curious, what do you think the impact of a bad teammate is in a clubhouse for baseball in particular? I'm not saying Trevor's a bad teammate, although I have heard things, but I mean, I'm just, you know, any generic player, if there's, you know, any bad teammate who's in a clubhouse, how can that affect the team? How can that affect the season and what's going on in the field?
I don't think it's that big a thing, you know, particularly starting for a pitcher. I mean, you only, you know, showed up once every 5 days. I mean, you know, people weren't crazy about Curt Schilling, but, you know, they loved him on that fifth day, you know, that sort of thing. You know, Randy Johnson's a tough guy. So, position player, it, you know, it can have effect, but, you know, every team in baseball, you know, not all 25 guys are getting along, and some guys will think, hey, this guy's a jerk. But I don't think it's that big a deal, you know, just because they, you know, it's not like the NBA where you're passing, you know, passing the ball and things like that. So I don't think it's a huge thing, but I do believe in the flip end. If a guy's a great teammate, a great clubhouse leader, that's big.
Bob, what's going on with the free agent situation? Certainly the two big names up top, Harper and Machado, but everybody else as well, there's still guys waiting for jobs like crazy. Do you think Harper and Machado, if and when they sign, things bust through and then guys start falling? And then I want to follow that up with, are Machado and Harper's financial wishes in line with where baseball is today? And are the owners just, have the owners changed their minds on giving those big contracts? What do you think?
Yeah, I think the owners have just changed their minds. As they, you know, now they're, you should pay for past performance. Now they're paying for future performance, and they're getting scared by, you know, guys turning 30 years old. I don't believe that Harper Machado affect the market just because those guys are, you know, looking for well over $200 million. So, you know, no one else is going to get that kind of money. You know, Marwin Gonzalez is, and a, you know, Dallas Keuchel or Kimbrel. So I just think in some cases, guys turn down big money. Bryce Harper turned down $300 million in Nationals. I'm not sure he's going to get $300 million, but, you know, so some of these guys turned down offers during the winter. They probably wish they hadn't.
Is it good for baseball or bad for baseball? You've got two huge names out there sitting out there without a team right now.
I think it's bad. I mean, you know, LeBron James is a free agent. Everybody's jumping all over him. You know, the football players, people jump on him. It's certainly not good for a team that eventually signs these guys, because now the whole winter is gone. You weren't able to market them. You weren't able to sell season tickets. You can still sell some now, but most people have already spent that kind of money. So, you know, you're not going to be able to cover the media guide and the pocket schedules, things like that. So you did waste a few months for marketing opportunities.
Bob, what's your gut tell you? Where and when on Harper and Machado?
Well, I would think sometime in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, both will sign. You know, position players, you don't need to be in spring training. You know, pitchers you do. So I think eventually, I still believe Machado ends up with the Chicago White Sox and Bryce Harper ends up with Philadelphia Phillies. We'll see, but those teams have got to be the front runners.
Last question for you. Well, how do you think the Indians will do this year? What are your – I mean, a lot of people think they win the Central. I just think it's early, and I think that outfield has got a lot of work to be done. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they definitely win the division. I just think the division's that bad. I mean, and nothing to take away from the Indians. They're still a very good team. But just that, I'm not sure any other team in the division is going to finish over 500. So I think the Indians, once again run away with it. And really, in July when they make their moves, they're, making moves for the postseason. They don't have to get outfielders now. They can experiment all they want. Because, no one's going to touch them in the Central. They really aren't.
Bob, have a great weekend. We appreciate it. Thanks for your great reporting over the last couple of days. It's made things fun to talk about here in Cleveland. So, Bob, thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, Bob Nightingale from USA Today joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.